What's good, everyone? Nick Engvall here. Thanks for tuning in to Outside the Box. As you know, I am going through some changes with this show. It's evolved many times since we first started it back in 2013, 14, 15, something like that, with Brandon and Jacques, and then again with Tiffany Beers and Jacques and I. And obviously, Jacques and I have a close relationship. We have a podcast with Eric Valdez that we talk about cars and kicks on, which is kind of a similar vein to what this show used to be, I guess, but with car conversations in the mix. And, you know, that combines two of the things that I really love. But the kind of third thing that is, I would say, one of the pillars of me as a creative person, as a individual, is content. You know, that's writing primarily, but I love podcasts. I love creating them. I love connecting with people through this sharing of conversation. I think it's just an amazingly powerful tool, and it's connected me with so many good people over the years that I'm trying to figure out what this looks like. That said, this episode might be a temporary one, might be something that I take down. I'm looking for a little bit of feedback on the way I approach my Substack, and eventually I will, you know, make some more changes to this podcast, but your feedback in all of this is more valuable than most, I would say, because you've known me the longest and seen me evolve as an individual, as a creator, as a, you know, professional, whatever you want to call it. And I really respect so many of the people that have connected with me through this show over the years and would love to hear your opinion on it. So this episode is going to be about that. Hopefully you enjoy it and you can give me some feedback. I get a little long-winded, but hopefully you understand it's just the passion that I have for all of this stuff. And I really want to make something that resonates with those of you that are still around, because it says a lot that you've been with me through the ups and downs and still continue to subscribe and tune in for the stuff that I'm creating. So thank you for that. And let me know what you think about this episode. I need your help. In the last 2 weeks, I've gained 13 free subscribers, actually 15 free subscribers, and I've lost 2 paid subscribers. So my total audience is growing, but my revenue is shrinking. I'm trying to build a sneaker community on Substack. Not hype, not product drops, not algorithm-chasing content that disappears in 24 hours, not the repeated posts of everything that you see on all the other platforms right now. I want to build something real, something that goes deeper, something where we can have meaningful conversations around sneakers and all of the communities and cultures that surround it. But I think I might have gotten the pricing wrong. 68 people are paying for this newsletter right now, but since I changed the price on January 1st, I've had 0 new signups and 2 or 3 cancellations. So I need to make a decision, and I'm asking for your help making it. By the end of this, I'm going to lay out 3 pricing options that I am considering right now. And hopefully you can tell me which ones make sense, because those of you that follow me here on this channel specifically are some of my most important supporters. You know, I've wanted to do this YouTube thing for a long time, and Substack is kind of pushing me towards that in a way. But you've been around for a long time, and I really would love to have your feedback, because I'm going full time on this in 2026, and I'd rather figure it out now with your help than 6 months from now when I realize that my prices are off and I'm putting myself in a corner because I can't figure out how to pay rent. So quick context, if you're new here, my name is Nick Engvall. I've been in the sneaker industry professionally for over 20 years. I built eSpay's first blog, kind of transforming the catalog from the stuff that we know and love into a way that the retailer could connect with people online. I established Complex Sneakers with an amazing team of people when nobody really knew if content that was focused on sneakers could sustain an entire media property. And obviously, Complex Sneakers is hugely successful. I feel lucky to have been on all of these journeys. I was also employee number 9 at StockX when there was only a couple of handfuls of us in a room trying to figure out if this crazy idea of a marketplace would even work. I've also led content teams at places like Finish Line and Stadium Goods, and I've consulted for countless companies in the footwear industry and with adjacent companies, with startups. Really, when it comes down to it, I just really love sneakers. And On a personal level, I've been featured on NPR. I've been a guest on CNN podcast. I've been quoted in the New York Times and even quoted in The Guardian multiple times. Sometimes I don't know how that I'm living the life that I am with all these sneakers, but I host the Sneaker History Podcast. We are well over 500,000 downloads over the past 6 years, creeping up on 600,000. So check it out if you haven't, but I'm assuming that if you were looking at this channel, you probably know the podcast. So the thing about sneakers is that I've been obsessed with them for way longer than I've been working in them. It still feels like a dream to be able to earn a living in sneakers. I've spent the last 40 plus years obsessing over sneakers since I was a kid, since before there was an industry, since before resale culture existed, since before sneakerhead was even a word that people used. I got my first opportunity to product test for Nike way back in 2001. That's over 25 years ago. This isn't like a career I fell into. This is a lifelong obsession that became a career. And basically for the last two decades, I've built content for platforms and audiences for other people. I've helped brands tell their stories. I've helped companies grow their reach. I've built communities that belong to someone else. And 2026 is different. I'm going full-time as an independent creator. The YouTube channel, the newsletter, the podcast, all of it's coming together Voltron style to create an opportunity for me to work on something that I love with the people that I love without having somebody else over my shoulder. I've also got a book deal with Motorbooks that drops in October, and I'll get into that in the future, but I'm super stoked about it. If you're in the Discord, you probably know about it already, but this is my biggest dream, and it's honestly also my biggest fear. So I'm trying to wrap my head around it, because I've spent the last two decades building audiences for companies that, you know, prioritize growth over connection and really just look at the bottom dollar versus building something that's real and feels good for the people that are coming in to be a part of the community. And I want to build something that matters. I'm betting that depth matters more than reach. I'm betting that depth matters more than a deal on sneakers, that people actually want something real instead of just more content, instead of the same post repeated by 20 different accounts on Instagram. But I can't do this by myself. I need help from anyone and everyone that I know, because like I said, this is super intimidating. And that's why I'm trying to build a sneaker community on Substack that goes beyond just my newsletter. And this is where I think things get interesting, because Instagram's algorithm decides what you see. Twitter surfaces whatever drives engagement, which usually means it's something ridiculous or it's something outrageous that just triggers you. And TikTok feeds you anything that optimizes your retention and keeps you on the app. Nothing to do with quality, nothing to do with truth, nothing to do with what people actually care about. And don't get me wrong, I've lived in the world of social media. I love playing on those platforms as well, but they're also draining to all of us. They're especially draining to me. I feel like Substack is different, or at least it can be different. When someone subscribes to your newsletter, they get it in their inbox. And I realize that that's not the only aspect of Substack. But at least for that, there's no real algorithm between you and them. And it means that you can actually communicate and share with the people that you want to communicate and share with, which no other platform allows you to do right now. Every other platform is deciding whether you're worthy enough of reach today, whether you're worthy enough of being put in front of all the people that clicked follow or clicked subscribe or even know you outside of the internet. You know, there's no engagement farming on Substack that I've come across yet. There's no real gaming the system. It works a lot like, I would say, my favorite parts of social media without the worst parts, or without the worst parts being prominent. So that's what I want to build, a place where transparency matters, where the people matter more than the product, where we can go deeper on shoes that have better stories, where we don't have to do the these drop today or copper drop. Nothing against those things, because we all love that. You know, like, I want to know what people are thinking about a shoe when I see it. It doesn't really impact my feelings on it, but sometimes when you hear the story from someone, you realize that you overlooked a piece of it. So I'm trying to create a place that allows us to have more depth and more meaningful conversations around sneakers. But I'm definitely not trying to build this alone. I think that Substack has the potential to be what Twitter was in 2009 in the sneaker community, or maybe what Instagram was in 2013, 2014. This kind of crossover of the two platforms, and also a little bit of what the forums used to be before social media kind of took us all and spread us all over the place and shoved us back into the same boxes. There's already a sneaker community on Substack. I think most people just don't know where to look for it. And I also think that Substack is a little bit slower in finding your people. But when it does find your people, it does a really good job of it. So if you're just looking at Substack for the first time or spending time on there for the first time, give it a little bit of time, engage with the folks that you want to engage with, and I think you'll find that it's enjoyable. But I'm not going to advocate for the platform as much as I want to advocate for the people that are over there doing this already. Mike Sykes is writing about the intersection of sneakers and business. If you know him, he's done a great job in many different places. Lois at Snobette is tracking how culture moves through fashion in a really cool way. Cole Townsend, who runs the Running Supply, is covering running in the way that I think sneaker media used to cover basketball, if that makes sense. If you're around for the 2008 to 2012 era, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. But running is having such a big moment to begin with. And I think people like Cole are a great way for others to be introduced to running. And it's also just a great way for you to connect with a community, the same way that basketball was for a lot of people in years past. Additionally, I would say that Jake Wolf is a writer who many of you may know from the fashion side of things. He connects sneakers to a broader conversation around style. And I think all of these things are kind of what shapes sneakers. You know, sneakers by themselves don't work, but when we take all these other pieces, it's when the beauty happens. And these people are already doing the work on Substack. They're building communities. Some of them have built amazing communities already and have huge numbers of followers and engaging posts every day of the week. And it's just I'm really excited to be there, as you can tell. But I want to amplify those people, and I want to help you if you want to get started. I want to see people helping each other find their people, because that's what makes any passion that we care about meaningful. Nobody really wants to sit in a room full of dusty old sneakers or dusty old comic books or whatever that collectible thing is that you're into. It's when you connect with others that it creates something that feels less like media and more like, I don't know, it feels like a neighborhood. It feels like you're connected to people through this common thing that, for me, oftentimes is sneakers, sometimes cars, sometimes making content and being creative and, you know, all that stuff. But it's like where you actually know people, where conversations matter, and where someone's perspective actually has value beyond the number of followers or the number of likes or the number of comments that they get. And you can have people that have next to no followers, whatever that looks like, and you still have a place where they're welcome to have meaningful conversation. And I would also say that there's less of the just insane negativity that exists on most of the other platforms right now on Substack. It seems like a safer place, if you will. But anyway, that's the vision for the sneaker newsletter on Substack, a real community on a platform that, at least in my experience, doesn't manipulate what you see near as much as the other platforms. I'm sure that somebody will want to say that they have algorithms and they have bad things, but like, it's the first place I've been on the internet in a long time outside of the Sneaker History Discord where depth actually matters over hype in almost every post, where the stories behind the shoes and the people behind the shoes and behind the brands and behind the stories matter as much as the shoes themselves. But let me show you the reality of what I'm trying to figure out here. As of recording this, I have 68 paid subscribers and 1,180 total subscribers. That's right now, as of today. It's January 15th, 2026, as I'm recording this. But let me kind of explain to you how I got here, because this is kind of a new thing for me, but I also kind of got a jump start on it in a lot of ways because I just got super excited about writing again. 2025 was a really rough year for me, and dealing with depression, dealing with losing my mom, dealing with, you know, financial problems and just everything you can deal with in life. But I stopped writing completely. And back in November, I basically had had enough and I had committed to consistent content, to consistent writing. And I chose Substack because it was kind of different than what I had been using, to be honest. So in November, I committed to this full time and launched what I call the founding member campaign, which was $7 a month if you joined before January 1st. You'd be locked into that price, $7 a month forever, and your rate never increases. And I realized that that was kind of a marketing idea, I guess, but it was also something that I needed to prove that the concept of writing independently could at least get me towards paying rent every month. So I went from one subscriber to about 70 in 6 weeks or so. And I mean, I'm not going to lie, from the place I was at to having that experience felt incredible. Like, it's the first time in a long time that I felt like people actually wanted what I was creating, wanted to read what I was writing, wanted to be a part of what I was building. And yeah, I mean, I can't say much more than that. But the founding member campaign had a story. It had urgency. It had FOMO. It had all the things that make people act and take action. And I knew that that would be a part of what I was trying to do. But also, I thought that maybe I was underselling the value of what I was writing, because I do a lot of work and a lot of research to create these stories and write these stories. And they've gotten much bigger. If you know me, you know I'm long-winded. So they've gotten out of hand at some points. So I've had to cut them back and break them into multiple parts. But the point is, you weren't just buying a newsletter. You were a part of something from the beginning. And I know that psychologically, that impacts all of us a little bit differently. You know, we feel like we get a little bit of status, or you get recognition, or, you know, you feel like you were there first and it kind of feels good. You got a deal that would never come back if you joined at that price point too. So there's a lot of layers to, in my experience, trying to pull this off on my own, where I'll get to use those types of things to hopefully make it work. And I'm sharing that here because I want to be transparent about it. I'm aware of the way some of those things work, but I'm not trying to trick anybody into anything. I'm just trying to make sure that I can figure out how to make the financial side of this work in order for me to move forward with it for an entire year. So at least an entire year. I'd love to do this for a long time. But then when January 1st hit, that promotion kind of ended and I moved to a standard pricing, which was $15 a month for new subscribers. But really, since then, I've had no new paid signups, and a couple, two or three people have actually canceled their subscriptions. So that makes me, as someone who works in content and marketing, realize that I have to, you know, I have to acknowledge that and take that information and use it to make this work somehow. My free subscriber count is growing. It's up probably 13, 15, maybe even 18 people in the last week or two. And I know that people are finding the content, and I know that they're subscribing for the free Tuesday posts, and they're getting to see, you know, I send out, because the posts that I write are so long, I usually send out notifications to everyone saying there's a new post. So they get to read a lot of what I'm writing that's not behind the paywall. But those free subscribers are not converting to paid subscribers at $15 a month, which is where my question for everyone watching this comes in. What I'm trying to figure out is whether the price of this is wrong, or if I'm just maybe not selling the value correctly. I'm trying to figure out a sweet spot where I meet the people that are in the industry, footwear professionals, but also the diehard sneaker enthusiasts, but also just the casual sneakerheads too, you know? So like there's three kind of audiences here that I think maybe makes this challenging. But what people get as a paid subscriber right now is 4 posts per week. One of those is a free post. 3 of those are paid posts. On Tuesdays, I do industry analysis, which is free for everyone. And recent topics have included stuff like Nike's CEO transition, Under Armour and Steph Curry's breaking up, why signature shoes keep failing, how Nike's layoffs had basically cost them institutional knowledge and trademarks to the T90. Still think it's crazy. But then on Thursdays, I do what I'm calling a From the Vault story or a From the Stack story, where this is where I get to kind of lean into my 20 years working at all of these different companies in the sneaker business. Sometimes it turns out to be behind the scenes moments, things that maybe I couldn't write while I was actually employed by some of these companies. Not that I'm giving away anybody's secrets or anything. Friday is kind of like a exclusive updates. I would say more like bonus content, quick reactions to like industry stuff. Just recently, I wrote about Derrick Rose and some of the stuff that's going on with Adidas to celebrate his career, which I think is really cool. Things that don't necessarily need 2,500 words, but deserve more than just a tweet or a repost. And I'm not going to do release stuff, so it's going to be more nuanced than that, I guess. But Sunday is kind of where I'm really enjoying this. This is like long form deep dives. I say 2,500 words plus investigative type pieces, but I've already done multiple 4,000 or 5,000 word pieces because I just like to go deep on these things. And this is kind of the analysis that you won't find anywhere else, because I've actually been in the rooms where these decisions are made for 2 decades. You know, it's insane to me to say that, but it really is true. So here I am trying to do this on my own. But paid subscribers also get monthly AMAs that I'm going to do that on the last week of the month and ask, you know, for your questions. You can ask me anything about the industry, sneaker history, trends, brands, retailers, strategy, whatever. I'm kind of an open book when it comes to this stuff anyway. And a lot of you have had great conversations with me over the years, but I want to make something more formal, because when I did that on this channel before, a lot of people really gave me some positive feedback from it. And I think people will like it. If you're a paid subscriber, you also get access to the Discord community, which, you know, I'm considering starting maybe a Slack community that's more focused on the industry. If you're interested in that, definitely leave me a comment. I'm thinking maybe we could do some job stuff there too, but generally that's for the stuff that people care about this well beyond just the buying and selling of sneakers. Maybe that would be helpful. I would love to help people find a way to be a part of this industry, because I think everybody should chase something that they're passionate about. So last but not least, I'm putting your name in the credits of every YouTube video that I publish. I'm still working out how to do that. This is all in full transparency. This has taken me like 4 times of recording now, because I've messed it up so many times and my audio is off, and I'm just figuring it out. So hopefully you'll stick around as I figure it out. And I promise that it's going to get better, and you're going to have more access to me, to people in the industry, and you're going to have better conversations about sneakers than you've ever had in your experience so far. But the other aspect of what I'm trying to do is a very professional level $199 a year. That one will get you basically everything that the normal paid subscription gets you, which currently is either $15 a month or $129 a year. The pro tier, let's say, gets you everything in those other tiers, but also gives you like I'm going to do quarterly deep dive reports. So think like kind of a cross between a think piece and a StockX data piece. And these are going to be pretty substantial. I would say probably 5,000 words or more, and more like investigations into sneaker shoe economics, brand strategy failures, market dynamics, you know, just kind of keeping an eye and a pulse on the biggest topics that happen quarterly in the footwear industry. And obviously that's going to include business side stuff, but there will be a little bit of, I'd say, culture stuff as well, because I feel like I'm uniquely positioned to do that. But this is going to be the kind of analysis that you'd pay a lot of money for if you commissioned it from an agency. I've been on that side of things. I've seen how much people charge for good, solid information. And I don't want to put myself in a position of a full agency, but I also don't want to devalue who I am and my experience, because I think that that's something that I'm also learning as I go to be better about that, let's say. I think it's important that I mention that this is expensible if you work in sneakers or marketing or content or social media or any of those aspects of what I'm talking about or career path that I've had. I think when your finance team sees the sneaker newsletter professional subscription for $199, it is pretty obvious that this is competitive intelligence and not just a personal expense for you to read what I'm writing. Like, there's real value in this stuff. And that's what I'm here for. So that's what people get. And I think that is valuable. I think it's worth what I'm charging. If I had the opportunity to read this amount of stuff at this level from some of the people that I look up to in this industry, I feel like the price is fair. But I also completely realize that the numbers are kind of telling me something different right now. And since I'm in the early stages of creating all this and putting all this together, I feel like I need to listen to that and also connect with people and get your feedback. So here's where I need your help. I'm looking at three options for this. And option one would be to just leave it at the $15 a month. And I feel like this is a professional level analysis. This is what serious industry newsletters charge anyway. But I realize that I have an interesting mix of followers, subscribers, readers. And I don't want to always have to position this as like competitive intelligence, because there is some level of entertainment value and cultural stuff that doesn't necessarily fit into that as a specific thing. But clearly, it's not converting right now. I've had zero signups in the last couple of weeks after having, you know, a couple every day or two through November and December. So either people don't see the value or I'm not communicating it well enough. Option two is to drop the price to $10 a month. That's obviously a lower psychological barrier, still premium compared to the $7 founding member rate, but I guess more accessible, obviously. And for me, thinking about it, this becomes more of a volume play, more subscribers at a lower price point in order for me to make this work. But I also just raised the price 2 weeks ago, so dropping it again in my mind would signal uncertainty. But also, I'm trying to be transparent, and I don't want to create a habit of people waiting for the next discounted rate or whatever. I want to make a decision and make this what it is and, you know, keep it that way for as long as I can. The third option that kind of comes to mind is some sort of meet me in the middle of that at $12 a month. I feel like that's still premium. It still respects the value of my 20 plus years of experience and the access and the people. I'm working on other stuff too that I'll talk about in a second here, but more accessible than the $15 a month. Doesn't feel quite as crazy expensive, but if I do that and the annual rate is $129, I feel like that sits at a pretty good price point, because $129, you know, that's a pair of sneakers. Like, you're passing on one release throughout the year to support me and what I do. And, you know, obviously if you've been around, you know, I love giving away shoes, so I can almost guarantee that's going to happen. But this could be like a Goldilocks option, like not too high, not too low, but it also could just be delaying the same problem that I'm already having. So I don't know which one is right, and that's why I'm asking. Would you pay $15 a month for what I'm doing? Does that feel too high? Is $10 the sweet spot? Is $12, you know, kind of meeting in the middle, a better place? And I realize that, like, asking people how much they want to pay for something is kind of funny enough, and in this economy, even more weird, ironic, whatever. But I think, like, the bigger question is, what would make it worth whatever price? What am I not doing that would justify premium pricing to you? And what would you need to see that would make you want to subscribe at whatever level it is? What I'm hoping for is to have you comment below and tell me. Type 10 if you think $10 a month feels right, 12 if you think $12 is right, 15 if that's what makes sense to you, or just, I don't know, type other, type something else. Leave me a comment that lets me know where you feel the value of this comes in at and what makes sense for you to become a subscriber if you're not already, or continue to be a subscriber if you're already one of the first 68 founding members. I'm asking you to be honest, and I'm not saying to gas me up or anything, just what makes sense for you, because I want to make the right decision now before I end up 6 months from now being like, damn, I messed up, you know? It's a learning thing, and I'm going to read every comment. I'm going to put it on different platforms. I'm going to ask all over the place. And then what I'm going to do is kind of bring it all together, tally up the votes, and like make a follow-up post to show all of you that are watching this what people suggest. Because I can go look at people that write on Substack or people that have paid newsletters, but the sneaker community is different than the rest of the world. I don't want to like pat ourselves on the back, but we kind of drive a lot of the cool shit that happens in the world. And this figuring it out is just kind of reality of building something when it's really unique. So I don't always know the answer. I'm just asking because sometimes that's the only way to find feedback from people. And I want this to be a two-way conversation as much as it can be in all ways and form. But here's what I'm sure of regardless of the pricing. The content schedule stays the same. I want to do 4 posts a week, every week, no exceptions. I'm not cutting back because conversions slowed down. I'm not reducing the quality because growing this is going to be hard, because it's going to be difficult and it's going to be challenging. If anything, I'm going to go deeper rather than shallower, because that's the type of stuff that I want to see out there in the topics and the, you know, industries that I really care about and am passionate about. On that note, I would say that I'm also working on a way to bring other sneaker writers, creatives, interesting people that I've met along the way into this kind of whole community building, because I'm launching a new interview series. I think I'm just going to call it 5 Shoes, 5 Stories or something similar. It'll basically be 5 questions. Hopefully we'll keep like the first and last questions the same or familiar. I always like to start out with something like, what's your first pair of sneakers that actually mattered to you? And then questions 2 through 4 kind of can adapt for the guests, because obviously you want to know different things as a viewer from different types of people. And the last question will be, what's the last shoe you complimented someone on? And if you listen to the Sneaker History Podcast, you know that question is directly tied into what I say at the end of every episode. Tell someone you like their kicks today, because you never know how far a compliment will take you. And we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. That is my core value for what I'm building, because this isn't about flexing what you own or how much you spent or anything about that for me. It's about noticing people. It's about connecting with people. And it's about sharing the passion that we all have for sneakers and the surrounding cultures that influence it beyond just buying stuff. You know, you want to be a part of a community that cares, that says, hey, I was there, and meetups and all those things that I've been trying as like a side hustle to do for Sneaker History. But I'm really committed to bringing all these things together. And I want to build that community on Substack, because I feel like it is the least toxic of all the platforms right now, that also has some feeling of familiarity, let's say, because it's not just the newsletter, but you can also do Substack Notes. If you're not familiar with Substack Notes, it's basically like their version of a feed. It's got an algorithm, but it doesn't feel heavy-handed the way Instagram or Twitter does. And I see a lot of chronological posts on Notes. I see a lot of familiar faces, like people that I've already chose to follow and subscribe to and engage with and interact with. So that's going to kind of be my daily space to hang out and talk sneakers as much as I possibly can. And I'm choosing that because I feel like the community that's building there feels different. It feels more real or more authentic than other platforms, where you just get like these, you get so many people jumping in with negativity that I'm over that. You know, I want to be supportive of each other. I don't think we have to agree on everything, but we can definitely disagree and have meaningful conversations around it. I want to create a space where you actually see what people are wearing too. I feel like that's kind of gotten lost in the algorithm, because, you know, Instagram just shows you the most popular pages or the most viewed pages or whatever. And I want to see what people chose to wear and why they wear it and the stories behind how they got it. Those are the things that make this stuff matter to me. Not just, look, I bought this and I'm flexing about it, but like real connections between what people wear and who they are. We all use these shoes, and the same thing about me and my love for cars. It's a part of our identity. It's a part of our self-expression. So I think we need a place where those types of conversations matter more than likes, more than views, more than, you know, how long somebody stays on your 6-second video, like all those hack things. While they're interesting to me from a marketing content creation perspective, depth always beats hype. Like, nobody's going to share a 2-second video that gets you a bunch of views. People are going to share something that they feel. And I think we can create a community where actually the stories behind the shoes and the people behind the shoes matter more than the resale value, matter more than, you know, the negative hot takes that end up on everybody's posts. So like I said, the book drops in October with Motor Books, and I'm super excited for it. I'll have more details on that in the future. It's a big milestone for me. It's kind of the thing that proves that this whole bet on depth over hype is worth it. And I need to continue to move towards that because I've wanted to write a book for a really long time. And this is just a stepping stone. This is not going to be like everything I want to write. It's a part of a series. It's going to be great. And I'm having fun doing it already. But between now and then, I need to get the, let's say, business model right for all of this to come together and work. And I need to figure out if this community actually wants what I'm building at the price I'm asking. And in order for me to really have an answer to that, I think I just need to ask your help in doing that. And, you know, not everybody's going to have the same opinion. And the answer might not be one particular thing even. But if I get your comments or your feedback, whether that's in a DM or whatever, it's going to help me make the decision. It's going to help me figure out and prioritize which direction I go as I pursue this kind of independent, creative life that I want to have. And it's scary. You know, I'm not going to pretend like it's not. It's easy to build something when you're working for $1 million, $1 billion business. When something happens and goes wrong, you brush it off and you move on to the next day because there's big infrastructure behind you or whatever. You know, like leaving the security of corporate jobs is most of us don't do it. You know, I fall back into it all the time, and I'm finally betting everything on depth in an age when algorithms control so much of what we see. But building something that prioritizes connection over reach, I think, is the only thing that's going to keep me excited and driven and passionate about creating the content, writing the videos, the podcast, the stories. So I'm asking you to tell me if the pricing is wrong, and hopefully you'll give me some feedback. I also think that that kind of transparency and community building makes this worth it and worth building. It shouldn't be just the highlight reel. And that's the problem that I have with some of the other platforms. So I'm basically going to give this, let's say, 2 or 3 days, and I'll come back in a week and show you what came in the comments and what I got from people messaging me with their thoughts, and show you what I decided and why, because that's what I want to commit to for the next 12 months. Whatever that feedback is going to determine how I kind of move forward. And that shifts a lot of what I have to think about in terms of getting it out there and getting people signed up. And if people want to see this journey on a like granular level of building a community, maybe I'll check in at 30 days or 60 days or 90 days or something like that and show you what's changing, what works, what doesn't. And we'll just kind of continue to figure it out, because I think in the long run, I would love to even figure out a way to support and highlight some of the people that are not as seen in the sneaker culture, but have so much value that they bring to the community that exists already. So it's not about numbers for me. It never will be, but this actually helps. And hopefully that will actually help creators who are trying to figure out the same stuff too. If you're a creator that's wondering whether newsletters can actually work, whether depth actually beats likes, and whether people still want to actually read, you're definitely not alone. I'm just trying to figure it out too, and I'm going to document all of it here on the channel and maybe even go a little bit further into this on different platforms or different channels to show more of this. But if you're someone who just loves sneakers and wants something different than Instagram hypes and product drops, I'm building that. Like, it's not perfect yet. The pricing might be wrong, but I really believe in the vision for it. I think we've all gotten burnt out on the way that it exists now. And it's going to be awesome when we have a space where we can actually have more meaningful connections with other people that have that passion for sneakers and all the different variations that they come in. And I know the community exists. I know these newsletters exist. We just need to find each other. And that is kind of the end goal, is just connecting all of these people that exist in different places and different worlds in a more collective sneaker community on Substack. So tell me in the comments, $10, $12, $15, whatever makes sense to you, or DM me if that's easier for you. If you don't want your opinion out there publicly, that's totally cool too. I get it. Also, if you want to subscribe now, the link will be in the description. If you want to wait and see what I decide, totally cool with that too. Come back in a week for the follow-up and you'll be able to see how I made this decision. But if you're building something similar on Substack or even here on YouTube, or even if you know someone who is, drop a comment. I would love to connect with people in the comments. I would love to figure out ways to support each other on this journey. Let's build this thing together. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a great place where we can kind of have genuine connections with people. But thank you for being here. Thanks for rocking with me. I appreciate y'all. I'll catch you in the next one. Peace.